Give your attention now to the reading of God's Word as we have it from Song of Solomon in the second chapter. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, faithful, inerrant Word of the living God. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes, that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and reflections and responses of all our hearts be pleasing and glorifying to you, who is our rock and our redeemer. And we ask this by the power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. I forgot to mention in the announcements, of course, that you can soften the pain of another birthday if you would like by participating in the funniest birthday card contest. Entries will be received for a couple more weeks, and then we'll see. It's not that bad. My theme for these first 3 months of the year in the sermons is the stewardship of God's good gifts to us. And he's given us many gifts, and it is his grace that he gives these gifts, and he gives these gifts to us for our joy and our enjoyment and our blessing and benefit. But of course, anything that God does, any good gift that God gives, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to be waging war. This pure hatred for anything that God does and anything that God gives. And so the enemy will seek to get us to misuse or abuse or neglect. And so I want us to be equipped to fight back. And so that's the overarching theme of these first months together. Now, we've considered already, of course, God's gift of prayer and God's gift of his word in Scripture, and we considered God's gift of retirement and how to use the end of our life to finish well to his glory. And then we considered God's gift of children and how much he loves his children, and he calls for a cheerful response of love and obedience from us, and how we are to train our children and prepare them to do that very thing, and how we ought to continue in that. So this week we come to consider God's good gift of marriage and ways to protect our marriages from the enemy's assaults. Now let me quickly add first that everything that I say this morning about marriage applies to all of our relationships, especially those relationships that are most important to us, whether they be in the family or in the home or among friends. And most of all, what I say even applies to protecting the most important relationship of all, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. So to those who are not married, please translate what I say into those other places. Translate what I say into those relationships that are important to you and that are vulnerable to the enemy and to the world's attack. So I cast as big a net as I can. But I will be using marriage as the illustration, the example. And of course, it is the most fundamental institution in our society, in our culture, in our civilization. And marriage is called by Paul to be a profound mystery because it opens a window into this open universe that we live in. It opens a window through which we see one of God's most beautiful purposes and plans. If you want to know how important marriage is, consider that the world began with a marriage in a garden, and the world is going to end with a marriage feast of the Lamb. So something huge is going on here, something exceedingly important and valuable. Marriage is one of the most beautiful things in God's creation because it is a reflection of the relationship that exists between Christ and His bride, the church. And so this is why the principalities and the powers are hell-bent to destroy marriage, to destroy this beautiful picture that God has given to us. We need to think about that if so much time and effort and attention is being devoted by the enemy to attack and destroy this gift, it must really be significant. It must really have huge implications beyond just our own personal relationships. And so this is why we need to fight to protect and to honor marriage as God has designed it and as He has given it to us. Now, another metaphor that the Bible uses for marriage is a garden or a vineyard, which we see in our text here in Song of Solomon, a book about love and the love and the romance of marriage. The fig trees are fruitful, the vines are in blossom, the garden is fragrant and thriving. And in the midst of this beauty, in the midst of this goodness, there are threats. There's dangers to the relationship. And if the lovers ignore the threats and don't take preventative action to remove these threats, the beautiful vineyard is going to be spoiled. Now, the danger here is described as little foxes, which, given the nature of foxes, is a pretty fitting description of the dangers that we all face in all our relationships, at home, at school, at work, in our church. So think with me for a moment here about the nature of foxes. What do we know about them? What are they like? Well, the first thing that we should notice about foxes, it might be the most dangerous thing, in fact, they're cute. They're innocent looking. I mean, what's not to like about this little fox on the bulletin cover? They're kind of pretty, kind of cuddly looking. And there's the danger. These cute little foxes can destroy a vineyard the moment you turn your back. Foxes are little. And so their size makes us think that they're nothing much to worry about. And we tend to underestimate the small things. But small does not mean insignificant. One little fox can lead a whole lot more foxes, and then you got a big problem. Foxes are by nature nocturnal. They do their work under the cover of darkness, out of sight. They're at work when others are sleeping or not paying attention. Satan is called Prince of Darkness for a reason. We need to be aware of the nature of these foxes. Foxes are cunning and smart. They're known for being sly and crafty. Deceptive. They can sneak up on you. They're mischievous. They'll trick you. Foxes are fast. They can dart into a vineyard and eat fruit and run away, and they're hard to catch. And foxes are malicious, destructive. They burrow under the defenses. They get in there and gnaw the branches and bite the bark and devour the ripe grapes, bear the roots. They spoil the vineyard. I think enough of us have probably had experience with puppies or kittens or dogs or cats or all manner of various critters that can do a lot of destruction in a hurry. All of these traits, all of these attributes of foxes are an apt description of who? Of Satan. Now, he can be a roaring lion, but just as often he can be sly, quick, little, crafty, deceptive, destructive. I hesitate to call him cute, but Scripture does say that he comes disguised as an angel of light, and that's innocent enough looking. So, what are we to do about these little foxes in our lives, in our relationships, in our marriages? What are these little foxes? Can you name them? I gave that as an assignment to the small groups that are meeting this week to spend some time seeing if they could come up with how many names for these various foxes in our relationships. Well, another thing that we should know about foxes is there are a lot of different kinds of them, 23 different kinds. We know some, you know, red, gray, silver, white. There's a variety. And there are at least as many kinds of foxes that can spoil the vineyards of our relationships, that can damage the love and the beauty and the peace and the fruitfulness of our marriages and our relationships. So I'm going to name a bunch of them. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. I think you'll get the drift, and if you're at all aware, you're going to know, yeah, what it is and what it means and what it looks like. So as you hear these, think about which ones are in your vineyard. And decide right now, please, to be honest, to be willing to name them. You have to name them before you can catch them, and before you can deal with them, and before you can kill them. And if we're really honest, we're going to acknowledge that, yep, we've got all of them. One way or another, one time or another, these foxes are in our vineyards. And I can say, after just a mere 43 years of marriage, that I confess that all of them can still creep back into our vineyard at any moment. I'm not going to think very long here right now about when was the last time I saw a fox in the vineyard, but what time is it? Okay. So let's start with the fox of self. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-love, self-indulgent. This fox wants his own way, and he gets impatient and angry when he doesn't get his way, and he thinks more about himself than others, and he's selfish with his time and his money. And there's the fox of self. And by the way, I'm aware I'm using the pronoun he. I am using it in the inclusive sense, like mankind, okay? It catches all of us. Related is the fox of pride. All foxes have some pride blood in them, but he thinks he's bigger, better, smarter, prettier, more spiritual, more important, more whatever. He's full of himself, and he lacks humility. And this fox gets defensive very quickly, trying to protect his own turf or his own opinion or his own needs or desires or whatever. This fox is puffed up and wants everybody else to think the best of him. We have the fox of anger. This is a common species. Temper flares quickly. He's combative. Better at escalation than de-escalation. He may stew for a bit, but then he blows his top. He's not slow to anger. And of course, this keeps everybody on edge and walking on eggshells. Very related is the fox of the tongue. This fox is the sharp-tongued one, the unkind or impulsive, critical words, those little words that sting. This is the fox of foul or obscene or unwholesome words, curses. This is the fox of poor communication or miscommunication or no communication. And then the fox of thoughtlessness, inattention, insensitivity, uncaring, lack of respect, easily annoyed, irritated at little things, thoughtlessness. Then I have kind of a catch-all fox here, the fox of differences. It rears its head when we're not on the same page or when we're unwilling to work through our differences. Those differences, differences of priorities, differences of views or attitudes about money or time or sex or chores or roles or relationships. Differences in how to deal with anxiety or worry or stress or problems when trials and troubles come. Different priorities about family commitments or entertainment or social media or hobbies or the way we spend our time or outside interests or outside friends. All these manner of differences. Then there's the fox of perfectionism. It can be rather demanding. Can't be pleased. It's a critical spirit. Too high of expectations, unspoken expectations. There's the fox of procrastination. This leads to complacency, to laziness, to a lack of taking initiative or being diligent. This is just coasting along, neglecting important things that needed attention. This is the fox that puts off dealing with foxes. Then there's the fox. I don't know that there's a complete progression here, but I am getting down to some more serious ones. The fox of bitterness that flows from all the other foxes. The growing discontentment, unmet needs, lack of respect, leading to this growing resentment. Bitterness over all the other foxes. In my first church, I was too young, naive, not maybe schooled in the foxes as well as I should be, to not recognize how creeping bitterness was overtaking the marriage relationship of an elder. And I didn't see it till years later when it finally fell apart. This is a serious one. The fox of bitterness must be dealt with. We'll get to that. The fox of unforgiveness, who keeps offenses or grudges or a cold shoulder or the silent treatment. It won't offer an apology and it won't accept one either. It doesn't seek to make things right or to be reconciled. And then the fox of spiritual neglect that leads to all kinds of damage to the soul and to the family, neglecting the most important things in life, neglecting prayer and scripture and worship, and neglecting seeking to have a Christ-centered life and home, losing one's first love in these ways. And this little fox brings with it then little compromises and little disobedience and little indulgences of the flesh that slowly erode the faith. And this spoils the entire vineyard because it destroys the very thing for which the vineyard was created in the first place. Wow, that's a lot of foxes. And I could go on and on, of course, just naming the sins in our relationships. The sins of the flesh, the sins of the heart, the attitudes and the habits that we have. Seemingly small foxes, perhaps, but if left unattended or overlooked or excused, will lead to much danger. The truth be told, are there really any little foxes? Are there really any little sins? When it comes to the things that can ruin our relationships, that can ruin our marriages, nothing is little. It shouldn't be ignored just because it seems small, but it ought to be dealt with the very moment it enters the garden. So what do we do with these little foxes? Well, in my mind, there's really just two choices. You can go on trying to ignore them, or you can do something about them. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have a check engine light on your dashboard that's on, you know, that's blinking, like in my car, that you're not paying attention to? How many of you ever have had the experience of a smoke detector deciding to start chirping at 3 a.m.? And you just want to put some earplugs in and go back to sleep. Instead of fixing the problem, we want to ignore it. We want to plug our ears because it's too uncomfortable to deal with. You know, sort of that playground thing. I can't hear you. You know, it's not happening. We don't heed the warning signs because we sometimes don't even know there's a problem. And then when there is, why do we ignore them? Well, we dismiss them maybe because we do think, it's too small. It's not worth bringing up. Or it may be that, we think it's not a big deal. Or we're conflict avoiders. We make excuses. We withdraw. Or we want the other person to go first. We want them to start. We want them to do the heavy lifting. But let's face it. Relationships take hard work. And we don't want to do it. But what's the cost? How long until the irreparable damage is done and the once beautiful vineyard is spoiled? Now, listen, friends, having little foxes in your relationships, having problems in your marriage doesn't mean you have a bad marriage. It just means you've got two sinners who are going to sin. Be honest about your sin and your contributions to the issues. Don't just try to keep the peace at all costs and avoid conflict or unpleasant discussions at all costs because the cost is too high. Now, our text here is a call to action. It's a call to proactively do something about the foxes before they do any harm. This is a call to fight against complacency and coasting along. And this is a call to start catching the foxes. Now, the wording here implies that she's asking him to protect them and their relationship. She wants him to take the lead, both in recognizing the danger and in protecting the relationship. He should be on the hunt for any potential enemies. And husbands in general like to hunt. They like to go out and catch things and kill things and attack things and this sort of thing. So you would think this would be right up his alley. And they're apt to see the external dangers to the relationship. If there's an intruder in the home, they'll deal with it. But they've got to be able to pay attention to the internal intruders, the relational, emotional, spiritual dangers that are in the home. But notice also the words us and our. This is also a call to work together, to team up. To not fight each other, but to work together against the common enemy. Always remember, the enemy is not the other person. The enemy is Satan, and he's the common enemy. So don't fight each other. Fight him and what he's doing. Now, there's several just quick ways to do this. Tend your vineyard. Tend the vines. Tend your relationship so that little things don't become big things. It's always easier to deal with a problem when it's smaller. This is the frustration that, of course, many pastors experience when the couple comes in and they sit down and they're not wanting him to kill a little fox. They're wanting him to kill Goliath because they didn't deal with the little fox. I probably switched up metaphors there. I should have used something like, who's the Yeti or whatever, the yeah, anyway. Tend to the vines and to the little things. Be vigilant. Be watching for foxes. Expect them. And name them and call them out and deal with them. Don't let your guard down. And don't get comfortable with them either and keep them around as pets. Most of us do that. We have a pet sin or two, a pet fox that we just let live in the house. Don't think for a minute that you're not going to have a lifetime of issues to work through. Marriage is work. It is sanctifying, and it will continue to be until someone dies. There will be differences, different perspectives and opinions and desires and needs, and expectations. Create daily habits that work to deal with the little foxes, that keep the record of wrongs very short and keep it cleaned up. Be reconciled every day. Forgive your debts every day and your debtors every day. Ask, how are you doing? How are we doing? How's it going? What's going on? Anything we need to know, talk about, think about, deal with. And, of course, that little mantra, give a kiss and a hug and an I love you every day. And better yet, add a prayer together every day. The best way to identify and trap and kill foxes is with the two-edged sword of the Word of God and the power of prayer. This is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. And so it must be fought with spiritual weapons. With prayer, with faith in Jesus, with confidence in the Word of God, with reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely on His power to give you the grace and the courage and the strength and the wisdom and the discernment and the patience to deal with the foxes. But do it with spiritual weapons. And when you fall, when you fail, confess your sin. Acknowledge your dependence on God and ask Him to give you yet again stronger desire for a pure heart, for the fruit of self-control, and for reconciliation and peace in the home. And one more important thing. Whenever you're dealing with foxes, whenever you're dealing with sin in any relationship, And just spread this out to every relationship you have. If there is sin and it's something that needs to be dealt with, always make sure that you see the log in your own eye first. If you don't see the log in your own eye, you are not spiritually prepared to deal with someone else's sin. You're going to be harsh. You're going to be judgmental. You're going to go too far. But if you start by seeing the log in your own eye first, and if you always see that your sin is actually worse, and you should because you have intimate knowledge of your own sin, if you see it, agree with Paul. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I am the chief sinner. I am the first and the foremost. I am the worst sinner that there is. If you start there from that perspective, from that attitude, then that will keep you from sinning when you go to deal with sin. Well, there it is. This beautiful vineyard, tender grapes. They're the best grapes, and they're also the most vulnerable, and they need the most protection. And if we'll kill the little foxes, we will make our marriages and our relationships more fruitful, a more verdant vineyard to the glory of God. And so this morning I urge every married couple here and those watching to have more than one honest conversation in this next week. I can't decide if Valentine's Day would be a good day for doing this or not. If you have the big picture, then yes, it would be if you care about the love and the romance in the marriage and in the home or in any relationship. But you get to decide that. But this week, have open, honest, calm conversation and name your own foxes. Name your own. I know you can confess other people's sin all day long. That's easy. Do your own. But begin to take some active steps to kill them. Jesus came into the world to kill the biggest fox spoiling the vineyard of his church, of his bride. And if he can do that, he can certainly help us and will help us to do the same. If you will fight the good fight against all the little foxes trying to destroy the garden of your home and your marriage, then you are fighting the good fight. You are resisting evil and the evil one. You are honoring God's good gift of marriage, and you are confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. May God give us wisdom and grace to do this to His glory. I leave you with the words of Paul in Colossians 3. Put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Amen. And Father, with those words of Paul ringing in our ears, we ask by your Holy Spirit to make that so, to bring it to pass. And by your enabling grace, Lord, let us live in a manner that glorifies you and your word. Hear and answer and help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.